Welcome to the Becoming Superhuman podcast. My name is Dr. Nirvani Umadat, and I spent years as a dentist, researcher, traveler of the world, and entrepreneur. Through helping thousands of people and my studies of conventional, ancient, and spiritual sciences, I've realized that merging science and spirituality is necessary for us to understand who we really are. I'm here to empower you to up-level your life, mind, body, and soul, and to become your own version of superhuman. Have you ever considered that your dental care may be a critical part of your anti-aging journey? Today, we're going to talk about how your mouth actually says something about how well or how poorly you're aging. So what I mean by this is your mouth is a place where signs of inflammation show up early and show up obviously. And what do I mean by that? Now, when there's inflammation anywhere, one of the things that comes along with that in the human body is typically bleeding. And so when you're brushing your teeth or when you're flossing and you notice blood in your mouth, that is a sign that there's inflammation happening in your mouth. And that's usually a good indication to kind of take pause and assess why you might have actually developed inflammation in your mouth, what that's saying about maybe your diet, your dental care, and overall your health in general. And we now know that our mouth and our dental health is scientifically linked. So this isn't theory and this isn't hypothesizing things anymore. It's linked to all kinds of diseases throughout the body. And these are things like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, lupus. I'm just trying to think of some others, cancer. So basically every major chronic condition that you can think of, there are dental effects or implications that have been linked to it. And this is readily available in the literature and really speaks to the importance of our mouths. And something that is high priority for a lot of people in the health and wellness space and who really take pride on honoring their body and doing what's best for the body is, I'm going to use the term anti-aging. I don't love that term. I actually prefer the term longevity. But I think just from the perspective of having this be readily understandable, most people understand the idea of anti-aging or not aging as quickly, preserving what you have. I personally believe that longevity, living a really vital, beautiful, hopefully long life, is the goal versus just not aging. Not aging is not necessarily the goal of most people who want to be vital, but aging gracefully, aging healthfully, and really bucking this paradigm that as you age, things get worse, I think is the goal for most people. I will speak for myself and say that my health, my level of strength, my flexibility, my physical capabilities now are far better and stronger than they were 10 years ago. And I expect to maintain that trajectory for the next 10 years. So as I age, I'm not looking to not age. I'm just looking to get better with age. And I really think that that is, as I said, most people's goal. So now having laid that groundwork that your dental health is related to so many other things as far as health is concerned, and I started this off by saying that dental health may really be a key part of anti-aging. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more and talk about what I mean by that. And speaking to the inflammation that shows up in our mouth, that is a sign that there is trauma in the body. So when you have bleeding, when you have inflammation, when you have signals that something is wrong, it means that there is some kind of traumatic event that is causing the release of these pro-inflammatory molecules to kind of surge into the bloodstream and move through the blood vessels, bathe the cells of your body, and then release blood. And that's really what's happening when you're seeing bleeding. And that's something that, although it's a sign of a problem and it's something that should be recognized, it's something that we really want to nip it in the bud and just stop it from progressing. See the signs, recognize the signs, and then deal with them. Deal with the root cause of what's causing the inflammation. And the way that inflammation is linked to aging is essentially when something is repeatedly traumatized, like when there's injury after injury after injury, and then you add insult to injury, you're really not creating an environment where anything, including the cells of your human body, can survive and thrive and do as well as possible. But in addition to that, your body starts to react by protecting itself. And typically, when things are in defense or protective mode, and you can even just think about nature as an example, when things are protecting themselves, they're generally not as open, as vibrant, as welcoming as when left to the devices of ease and harmony and these types of things. And so when you have bleeding in your gums, bleeding around the teeth, when you've got angry gums and tissues, that's really a sign that there is inflammation in the blood vessels of your body. And it's not only you can luckily see it in your mouth, because that's a really easy identifiable place for it to show up, but what it's telling you is that that inflammation is actually coursing through the rest of your body, in your blood vessels, throughout the rest of your body. And there may be signs of inflammation showing up just like they're showing up in your mouth elsewhere in the body that you cannot see. So as I was saying, when there's inflammation and there's bleeding and there's trauma, that's when aging happens. Or basically, that's when a shutdown or protective mode kind of sets in within the cells. And you really aren't in this phase of growth and development and vitality. You're more in a kind of hunker down and let's get through it phase. So that's what is happening inside of your body. That's what's happening in your cells. And when we talk about anti-aging or longevity, what we're really speaking to is we're speaking to growth, repair, maintenance, renewal, rejuvenation, cellular harmony. So these types of things that involve your cells signaling to themselves and to one another that we're in this growth phase. So if you think about children, for example, children that have lots of very young, youthful cells tend to heal more quickly than adults do. And so that's something that we can just kind of very easily relate to what's going on in our body. When we have cells in our body that operate in a way that's more aligned with youth or vitality, those cells are repairing themselves quickly. They are repairing neighboring cells quickly. Like they're coming together, signaling to each other, we've got an injury here. They're helping one another to recover from that injury. There's a lot of good communication backward and forward between those cells. And when that stops, that's when you start to get aging. And eventually when it completely shuts down, you get cell death and decay ultimately of the body. But You want a situation in your body, in your cells, in your throughout your body, in your skin, all of these places that we would hope to see vitality and beauty and health show up. You want a situation where your cells are happy to repair themselves, happy to be in high energy states where they can receive and transmit information to their environment, and happy to grow, feel nourished and supported in that growth. You want all of those things. When you get what's called cellular senescence, or basically like shutdown mode of the cells where there really is no growth, there's kind of this ultimate stagnation of the cell into like sleep mode. You can think of it as sleep mode for the cells, where there's no growth, there's really little activity aside from the activity necessarily for the cell to just maintain its current state. So non-growing, no repair mechanisms really underway, not really receiving or transmitting information to and from your environment, and not really in a state of high defense even. So when you have cells that kind of go into the sleep shutdown mode, and then around them, there are a lot of problems, like these pro-inflammatory markers are just running amok throughout the bloodstream, insulting and injuring these cells that are already trying to just kind of relax, shut down, preserve as much energy as possible. On top of it, not really in defense mode, but should be, because there is a lot going on around them that isn't necessarily good. You get aging. You don't get growth and repair. You get the almost, not quite, but almost the opposite of that, where you don't have growth and you don't actively have repair. Like you have non-death, but not necessarily repair. And that's how you age. So why is inflammation important in that? Because when you have an inflamed system, as I said earlier, the inflammation in the blood, so all of these molecules that are constantly circulating that basically signal to your body that there is trouble, that there are things not working well inside of the body. And these are things like interleukins, interferons, C-reactive protein, CRP, tissue necrosis factor. So these are what we call pro-inflammatory biomarkers. And these are things that can be tested for in the blood if you get a blood panel. And the levels that these things exist at within the blood kind of signal to you where you're at as far as what level of inflammation is operating inside of you. And these biomarkers, they're found in higher levels where there's lots of inflammation and, quite frankly, where there is tissue breakdown and tissue failure. And ultimately, that becomes organ failure. And again, a very easy to see, easy to identify plane, our skin, our largest organ, is a really good indicator for us as to our overall health and what the inflammation levels are like beneath the skin. So if you have really angry, irritated skin, that is typically a sign that there's anger and irritation happening beneath the skin within the blood vessels, lots of pro-inflammatory biomarkers floating around trying to trigger your body to realize that something is going on. And then probably poor lymphatic drainage or poor toxin emission happening throughout the body as well. So your lymphatic vessels eventually will drain into the venous system. But if you're not getting a lot of good lymphatic absorption, if you have blocked lymph nodes, for example. If you have stagnant lymph, so if your lymphatic system isn't really draining or there isn't a lot of movement going through the system in a really passive, easy way, and things are kind of just getting gunked up and stuck within the lymphatic system and then not moving throughout it and throughout the circulatory system, is not doing its job, and you're not getting the level of detoxification you should be getting. And this relates back to the mouth, because within each one of your teeth, and of course within the tissues themselves as well, but within the teeth, there are lymphatic vessels, there are blood vessels, there are nerve vessels, and these are all connected to other vessels of these same types within the rest of the body. And the idea that we can use our dental health as a really obvious, readily available signal to us to kind of identify what is happening elsewhere, because we've got hard tissue, we've got bone, we've got the teeth, the dental tissues, we've got soft tissue like the gums and cheeks and other tissues in our mouth that represent these types of tissue throughout the rest of the body. And it's a really good indicator for us to see where are we at as far as our inflammatory levels, where are we at as far as how well or how poorly we're aging overall, because it's probably something we're all trying to get under control. How do we live this life so that we can be the best versions of ourselves? And if we're going to age up, level up. So it doesn't have to be this scary, terrible thing where just because you are getting older, you are getting worse, you're breaking down, things don't work the same. That's a story. That's an idea. That's a story that we've all been sold for pretty much our entire lives. And it seems so real because for most of us, the people that we see around us who are older than us, they are sick. They aren't doing well. But that doesn't have to be the same story that you tell yourself or that you live for yourself. And that is why it's so important to understand these things, and not because all of the technicalities around them are the important part, but because if you understand that you have agency and control over how you age, how your body functions, how you perform on a physical, emotional, spiritual level, if you get that you get to control all of those things and either support or sabotage those things for yourself, it really empowers you to make different decisions. So going back to inflammation and how signs of dental inflammation and angry dental health can be a sign that there are other problems brewing throughout the body, and why that matters is because of what is called in medicine inflammaging. So inflammaging is essentially aging as a result of inflammation. So there is a technical term for this, and it means exactly what it sounds like it means, is the more inflammation you have in your body, the more aging happens, the faster you age. And what I was speaking to before is your cellular ability to bounce back from things. So the ability of your cells to repair themselves, the ability of your cells to maintain themselves, the ability of your cells to work well with each other and with your microbiome as a whole. So really be in strong communication with, and then of vital use to, the cells around themselves. That's all important in allowing you to function at your highest level. So you've got over 100 trillion cells in your body, and they all have to communicate with one another. They have to exist individually as well as existing within and amongst each other. And then supporting not only themselves, not only that relationship with the other cells, but also taking in information from the environment and releasing information and energy, chemicals, other types of hormones or other supportive molecules. All of these things are requirements of the cells, and not to mention reproducing and producing more cells, which is part of the growth and in some cases the repair mode that they go into. But if you don't have the ability to catch signs of inflammation, you also won't have the ability to stop these inflammation episodes, where they initially can be acute and short term, meaning that they don't have to stick around. Like, you don't have to have inflammation in your body forever. But the sign that there is inflammation in your body is also a sign that something needs to shift, like something needs to happen so that you can eliminate the inflammation and move your body from a place where it's not functioning well. There is something that is off kilter, and then you move into a place of better health for yourself. And that is why I think it's so important to really pay attention to your dental health. Because if you, say, are a regular flosser, this is a really, I think, easy, relatable example for most people, and then you don't floss for a week or two, for whatever reason, maybe you're traveling, you forgot your floss, and you come home and you go to floss again, typically you'll notice a little bit of bleeding, because there is this activity that you were regularly doing that you weren't, that was controlling some levels of bacteria in your mouth in certain places, in certain quantities. And if nothing else, it's a shift in your habit that was modulating bacteria to a certain level. And now you're stepping back into it from a break, and your body is telling you, there's some bleeding in the gums. Your body's trying to tell you, we didn't like that you stepped away from your routine, or that you weren't honoring this part of your health protocol or this part of your body in this way. It's a really easy way to tell that your body is unhappy with something that you've done. So, having said all of that, if you want really healthy, beautiful, vital, glowing skin, it means that everything under the skin has to be healthy, beautiful, vital, flowing, functioning, and really unimpeded as far as energy. And when you have inflammation, to just finish up on why inflammation is really something that we need to get under control, is when you have inflammation in the body and you've got these molecular signs of inflammation circulating in the bloodstream, your cells are really getting information about the inflammation. That is what is being conveyed to the cells, is that there is a problem here. And then the cells go into protective mode. And that's including the cells of your skin. And so what I had mentioned earlier is that cellular repair goes down, cellular growth goes down, cellular communication goes down. And so when you're not growing, when you're not repairing, when you're not communicating well, and when you're really just in defense mode, there's no offense going on, you are inevitably, you're just not going to look, or feel for that matter, but look as good as you could. So in the case of skin and skincare, I think a goal for a lot of people is to, one, have a youthful look to them. So that doesn't necessarily mean to look young, but having a youthful look could mean a vibrancy or a brightness to the skin that really coincides with health. So I think that's one goal that most people have. And we describe this as clear skin, but skin that doesn't have lots of acne, again, a sign of inflammation, blemishes, lesions, these types of things, rashes, all of these types of things are signs and signals that there are inflammatory agents working throughout the body. And when they pop up on the skin, is really like they've already moved throughout the body through the various circulation and lymphatic systems that they do. So they show up on the skin, really, like your skin becomes perforated. It's the first line of defense for things going in, but things move throughout the body from the inside out. So it is the last place that something will show up when there's a problem. So that's why I'm saying if you can get into a habit of really paying attention to and valuing and honoring your dental health and treating it like this ritual of self-care in both the morning and the evening, whenever you're doing it, and hope you're doing it at least in the morning and the evening. But it is a form of self-love. It is a form of self-care, and it is a way for you to gain information as to what the inflammatory state of your body is and really start paying attention to, do things change with your skin when they change with your mouth? If you notice more bleeding or more inflammation on your mouth, are you noticing more skin issues, and vice versa? When you're dental health improves, does it appear as though your overall health of your skin is improving as well? Do you feel better overall? And these are important things to just kind of make note of and to start to piece together so that you know how your body reacts under certain conditions. What are some ways that you can gain optimal dental health? What are some practices that you can put in place? Overall, diet. And I've spoken about diet in some of my other presentations, so you can refer to those for specifics, a little bit more detail. But I would always recommend probiotics just because that helps to regulate the microbiome, and the microbiome being the primary contributor of cellular population to the body. I think we need to do whatever we can to support our microbiome. So probiotics are a must. And fiber. So consuming soluble, insoluble fibers so that the microbiome, the bacteria in the digestive system, can utilize the fiber and convert those fibers into something useful as far as precursors to other molecules that you need. So fiber, probiotics, as far as the diet is concerned, and then getting into a regular dental practice, maintenance practice, and I would say at minimum brushing 2 times a day, at minimum flossing 1 time a day. And in the natural health space, there are different theories and different ideas around these things, but I would say, I mean, I personally use an electric toothbrush. I love my electric toothbrush. I recognize the bristles are nylon, but the bristles on most toothbrushes are nylon. Even the bamboo bristles, they're like plasticized bamboo so that they can actually be functional for you. So I use an electric nylon bristled toothbrush, but it's amazing. And I use a Philips Sonicare. I would suggest an electric toothbrush because it does a lot of the work for you. So at least 2 times a day, I would suggest flossing, as I said, 1 time a day. And you can use a natural floss, like a silk threaded floss. Living Libations is a Canadian-based company, and they make a silk floss. It doesn't feel as nice or as smooth as commercially available waxed flosses, but it's very much a natural floss. So if you're looking for something that doesn't have polyesters or plastics or Teflon in it, this is a really good natural option. So on a very practical front, those are some suggestions. But then taking this one step further, I really recommend a toothpaste or a tooth powder with hydroxyapatite in it. And this is now becoming more of a thing. Like, it's becoming more of something that companies are trying to focus on because there are concerns around fluoride in toothpaste and fluoride in general. And this is the alternative that actually makes sense to fluoride. So fluoride does not naturally occur within the enamel of your teeth, which is the really dense, hard part of your teeth. Hydroxyapatite is one of the primary molecular parts of the enamel that allow it to be so dense, so hard, really the hardest biological surface that we have. And when we say that you have demineralized enamel, it is literally a sign that the enamel is becoming weak and thin and brittle. And so I just said that enamel was the hardest biological substance that we have. Your body did not develop enamel only so that it could break it down. Like, there are so many things that have to be going on for your enamel to break down. So we really want to fortify, strengthen your enamel, and we want to do it in a way that makes the most sense. So if hydroxyapatite is the compound that gives enamel or allows enamel to be as strong and dense as it is because of the way the hydroxyapatite actually is configured, then why not use hydroxyapatite? So find dental products, whether it's a dental tooth powder or a dental toothpaste with hydroxyapatite in it. The other thing that is also now becoming a focus within dentistry is nanosilver. And this is something that's been used in medicine for a very long time. Nano-sized particle silver, and that's because of its antibacterial qualities. So it can be used to really stop a wide range of bacteria without it is not bactericidal, meaning it's not like indiscriminately just killing bacteria, but it halts a lot of bacterial activity and does not create damage to either the human cells. It's benign as far as the impact on human cells, and doesn't wipe out large swaths of bacteria like antibiotics do or antimicrobials in general do. So hydroxyapatite and nanosilver particles are two things to consider. And then I would also suggest clove oil. And the really amazing thing about clove oil is that it is natural. It's a natural anti-inflammatory, and it has really well-documented, long-standing properties of being an antimicrobial and an antifungal agent, which is really good, especially when we're talking about products for the mouth, where there are lots of both bacteria and fungi. And clove oil can be found relatively easily, and good quality clove oil can be found relatively easily, which is also a bonus. So it is something that is easy to acquire and easy to include in products that you might be making or wanting to take as far as your dental health regimen and overall anti-inflammatory regimen. And something I include in the products that I make for myself and for people close to me. I really do love both the feeling and the taste, actually, of clove oil, in addition to some of the amazing things that it does just from an inflammatory perspective. And then in addition to that, I would also suggest coconut oil. And if you get something like non-fractionated coconut oil, you can acquire coconut oil liquid format. You eliminate that really strong coconut taste, which some people like, some people don't like. So you can just use regular organic coconut oil if you don't have an aversion to the strong taste. But there are a couple of options as far as how you can or cannot include coconut oil into your regimen. And specifically when we're talking about something like oil pulling, which does have scientific literature to back up the efficacy for its use, Coconut oil is a major part of that. It has been used in Ayurvedic medicine and Ayurvedic dental health practices for thousands of years. But the literature does show that you need to be using it in the format of oil pulling for about 20 minutes a day if you're going to see specific benefits as far as reduction in inflammation in the gums, reduction in inflammation in the overall periodontium around the teeth. So 20 minutes is a long time. I don't know that most people have an extra 20 minutes in their day to oil pull. If you do, be my guest, go for it. It is something that has a long-standing track record of being effective. But even if you don't necessarily have the time or dedication to oil pull, including clove oil, which also, again, we're big into the antibacterial properties of these natural elements, is an antibacterial, and also just has the property of applying a oily enough surface to impede bacterial aggregation, meaning bacteria can't cluster or clump together. They can't bind towards one another as well as easily when you have a sufficient amount of coconut oil sort of bathing bacterial surfaces and overall tissue surfaces, which is really important. So we kind of get this oily, greasy surface that we're creating, which in turn makes it difficult for bacteria to adhere. So to recap, if we consider products with hydroxyapatite, nanosilver, antimicrobial, antibacterial, natural oils like clove oil and coconut oil, and start to think of how we can incorporate or implement these into a daily regimen. These are all really strong anti-inflammatories and have the ability to work synergistically or work together to really bump up that antimicrobial protection that we're getting from each individual element. And overall, when we are functioning and when we are developing an environment within our bodies that is not wiping out or killing all of the bacteria, but that is managing in a natural, holistic, and complementary way the types of bacterial growth and inflammatory processes that are coming along with that in our bodies, we are managing inflammation. And that's the best way to go about trying to reconcile how to create health, how to this idea of, do we need a sterile environment? No, of course not. I mean, we're not sterile beings, but you need an environment that facilitates the balance of the quote unquote good bacteria with bad bacteria. And basically, that's just to say that you don't want an overgrowth or an overtaking of any one thing in your body. You want to create balance. You want to create harmony. You want an environment that is uniform as far as its ability to maintain homeostasis. And you want to be able to regulate these things as naturally as possible. And so these are some ways that you can go about doing that. And if your inflammation is managed well inside of your body, that shows up on the outside of your body, and namely your skin. So I hope these are some useful, practical tools for you to move forward with in your anti-inflammatory, anti-aging, beauty from the inside out journey. And really, it is my goal to impart the idea that none of us have to be sick, weak, or diseased, and we get to take into our own hands and take into and under our own responsibility the ability to exude and live in health, strength, beauty, and vitality, because it is my belief that you were born to be superhuman. Thank you for joining me today.